Please turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, and we'll look at the 103rd Psalm. I put a little note on the heart line yesterday about this Psalm. There are 22 verses, and I encourage you might want to think about reading it. It'd probably take you 2 or 3 minutes, and just look for the word mercy. Different words are translated mercy here, but they both are three different forms, but they are all along the line of mercy, restrained judgment, God's steadfast love and kindness to us. I'm going to go ahead and read it all right? And you can look for them, and we'll confine, for the most part, our comments on verse 8, where the word is used twice. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. There's nothing wrong with talking to ourselves unless we're saying the wrong stuff. Look at it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He'll not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Join the chorus as he's talking to himself and recounting all the blessings in his own life and the character and promises and grace and goodness of God. And he's just challenging his own soul. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Cherish the Lord. Honor the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Talk about the Lord. Remember the Lord. This is a discipline. This is a practice. This is a habit. This is something that we ourselves can work on. Verse 4 talks about mercy when it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We do not deserve God's loving kindness or mercy, and yet he crowns us. That is, he wants our lives to display the blessings of God in our lives. Verse 11 talks about his mercy when it says that as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Verse 8, twice this idea is in the same verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So what is mercy? Well, I suppose down south, mercy is a word that's used sometimes. It's kind of, oh, mercy me, or something like that. I don't know. I wasn't raised saying that, and I don't really know that I used the word that way, but that could kind of maybe rob the word of some of the truth that could be a blessing to us as we think about mercy tonight. Mercy, well, it's closely related to grace and love and kindness and compassion. All together, these ideas put together present this rich description of who God is. We might melt it down and just say, well, you know, when you maybe you violate some law, maybe a driving law or something like that, and you see these beautiful lights behind you and you have to pull off the road. Anybody have that happen to you? Fred, God bless you. I'm sorry. Oh, dear. Sorry. Did anybody not have that happen to them? Somewhere along the line, I mean, you went through a stop sign, a red light, something. You went too fast. I don't know, but sorry. But the point is if that happens, or even if you remember back to school and you're in, I don't know, whatever grade, high school, and somehow you, I don't know, there was a quiz, there was a test, somehow you forgot, you didn't prepare well, I don't know, but there's some problem. You know, whether it's the police officer, it's the teacher, or even mom and dad, you didn't make your bed, I don't know. But what you want when you fail is mercy, not judgment. Mercy. Mercy is what happens when we are wrong, when we have failed, when we owe something because we did not do what we should have done. And we don't want judgment. We don't want what we deserve. We do not want what we earned. What we want is for all of that to be restrained. Please don't give me an F. Let me do it again. Please don't make me to go to bed early. Let me make my bed or whatever it might be, you know. Please don't give me a ticket or whatever it might be. We want mercy. Instead of what we earned, instead of what we deserved, instead of what we probably should get. Notice in verse 8 these four descriptions of God. The Lord is. And then notice these amazing concepts that we will meditate upon tonight, with especially focusing on mercy. The Lord is merciful. Now, I just want you to think about this for a moment. That's who He is. It's not merely that God shows mercy. It's His character. It's who He is. He is merciful. He enjoys restraining judgment. He's merciful. He's gracious. God enjoys giving gifts. That's the God we serve. That's why we should have joy. That's why we should be so committed to Him. That's why we should love Him so deeply and be so loyal to Him. This is the God of our salvation. God enjoys giving gifts. He doesn't dole out gifts to us only when we deserve them, or we'd never have them. God is gracious to us. How do you like that third description? Slow to anger. If God was not slow to anger, I dare say none of us would ever reach adulthood. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That is, and we'll look at some other scripture that talks about mercy, but clearly He is plenteous is the idea that His supply of mercy is deep and wide. It's not just a bathtub full, it's the Grand Canyon full, if you want to think of it like that. Plenteous in mercy. So the Bible declares that God is merciful. I want you to think with me about that. I've got you three truths tonight from a variety of scriptures. God's mercy, it's abundant. It's abundant mercy. Just think with me as I'll read a lot of scripture to you. Psalm 57 verse 10. Thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. We already read verse 11, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. We've got these pictures here because we can't really quite grasp God in his greatness. God has not given us the intellectual ability to really grasp him. He's so much bigger than we are, and our minds are, he hasn't given us that capacity. But we do have in these two scriptures I read to you this metaphor, this picture, this word, this visualization of God to try to demonstrate to us for our meditation how great God's mercy is. And the scripture says, thy mercy is great unto the heavens. We mentioned this morning in Sunday school this idea of Mr. Bezos. Is that how it's pronounced? And how he went up and came down in only 10 minutes. And the gentleman before, what was his name? Sir Branson, Richard, I think it was. And he was only up a little bit. And I read an article about him before he went up. And apparently, and I don't know, I mean, when are you in outer space? You know, I mean, this is not a, it's not like there's a doorway you just go through, you know. But there was some criticism about, okay, how far is outer space? And are you really outer space? And all those different kinds of things. And I don't want to go into that. But you know, you think about it. And God is using that sense of the greatness of the heavens, or in this psalm, verse 11, as the heaven is high above the earth. And we understand the limits of language. I mean, we say high above the earth, and yet we understand the earth is a ball. It's a sphere, if you will, a globe. So, but you know, it's just, it's this sense of infinity. Just it goes on and on and on. In any practical sense, there is no end to the heavens. That's God's mercy. You can't out-sin God's mercy. Whatever there might be in our background, whatever failures, whatever flaws, whatever ways that we, prior to salvation, after salvation, to whatever degree we somehow fail and sin, walk away from the Lord, yet the Bible declares that his mercy is higher than the heavens. It's virtually infinite, the greatness of his mercy. How about this? God's mercy is timeless. It's always available. Psalm 100, you will know, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord. We don't have to think back and say, well, you know, back in Jesus' day there was mercy, or back in the founding of our country there was mercy, or back in the 20th century there was mercy. No, God has declared that his mercy endures to all generations. It's timeless. Psalm 103, our text that we read, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Why? How could it be that the mercy of God is from everlasting, that is, when there was no sin because there was no sinner? How could it be from everlasting? Because the mercy of God is not something that he does. The mercy of God is something that he is. It's his character. It's who he is. He doesn't have to work at it like we do when someone sins against us. It's not something that he has to practice, that he has to develop, that he has to try to discipline himself to do. It's who he is. It's his very character. Psalm 106 and verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever and ever and ever. Oh, why are we secure in Christ? Because we're in Christ, and his mercy endures forever. God's mercy is not only infinite and timeless in its abundance, but God's mercy is enough. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now, there's a good verse you can use with someone that might not know if they're saved, or might wonder if they've been saved, or might not have ever been saved, but they're wondering about that. What a wonderful verse that we can go and we can say, the scripture indicates that God is good, that God is ready to forgive, that we don't have to somehow develop some kind of anything. Because God is always, already ready to forgive. Why? Because he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. What glorious truth that is for us, that we don't have to go out and wonder if we might tell someone something about God and tell it to the wrong person. The word all there. God is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee, the text says. And then the Psalm 103 and verse 8 again. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So the mercy of God is abundant. The mercy of God is also a saving mercy. Titus tells us this. Listen for the word mercy with all these verses. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is the very mercy of God that even makes salvation possible. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, it would not be possible to be saved. But God is merciful. And so we are born and we live our lives. And as we go through life, if we are honest, if we are humble, if we are realistic, we can look at the heavens and we can say, that is massive. I can't do that. Whoever made that is bigger than me. I can't make my eyes see. I can't make my heart beat. I can't make my lungs breathe. I go to sleep at night. And I wake up in the morning and I've done that day after day after day. No matter how old you might be, if you're 10 years old or if you're 90 years old, how many times have you gone to sleep? And you woke up and you yet still lived. That's the mercy and grace and kindness of God. And it doesn't take a tremendous amount of understanding to say, there's a God that is so much bigger than I am. Well, I have good news for you. That great, big, wonderful, perfect God is merciful. He will judge, yes. He will judge. We see that in our text. We'll get to that in a few minutes. He will judge. He will not forever and ever let people say no to him. There's a line that he draws. He draws it in every individual life. Scripture tells us that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. At the conclusion of our service tonight, we'll take some time if you would like to stay. It's about a 7-minute video, and we'll look at pictures in the life of Kingston's father who passed a year ago last Sunday. And we're reminded as we look at that of the death of another fellow human being. And if we are sober, we realize someday my life will come to an end. Now is the time to live it. This God is so merciful that no matter how many mistakes or how grievous or how difficult or how much doubt or how much fear or whatever there is that causes us to question coming to him, God says, come. Just come to him. It is the mercy of God that makes salvation possible. And God's mercy makes salvation available. Romans 11:32 says this, God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. And Isaiah 55 and 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, leave all that and let him come or return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is merciful to the repentant. He talks about the wicked. And he doesn't say, let the wicked be cast into hell in Isaiah 55. He does not say, let the wicked be left out, let the wicked be judged, let the wicked be scorned, let the wicked be criticized. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. Stop the wickedness and come to the one who is judge, but is merciful. But come now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Now is the time. God's mercy makes salvation such that it gives us life and great life and a wonderful life. 1 Peter tells us that in 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, those of us who are born again, those of us who have been begotten again by the Lord, who know the Lord as our Savior, we look at the fact that Jesus got out of the grave and ascended to heaven and is there today. We look at that as being our forerunner, if you will, that we too shall rise from the grave to ever be with the Lord. And we look forward to that. And we live in light of that hope. And we don't live just about what we can put our hands on here, because there's so much better that we know, and so we seek to lay up treasures in heaven. And God's mercy, it's abundant, it's a saving mercy, but then finally, just a few verses here about the availability of his mercy. I trust these are all very common. Let me read them for our meditation. Listen to this, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The very time of need, the very time when we feel like we don't deserve to go to God, the very time where we feel like we have failed, I am needy, emotionally needy, mentally needy, physically needy, socially needy, financially needy, whatever need there might be, that very time of need, this merciful God does not say, well, you made your bed, lie in it. He does not say, well, you got what you deserved. He doesn't say to us, well, what goes around comes around. He doesn't say, well, this is what you want. This is what you wanted. How do you like it now? How's it working out for you? He doesn't say that. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Don't stay away. Come. Come. Come to this throne. Come to this throne room. Come to this throne that is, yes, seated upon this throne is the ultimate and the absolute and the holy and perfect and righteous and absolute judge of all. But oh, you can come to this throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the very time of need. Jude tells us this. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And we can depend on the mercy of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 4 says, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now let me go back to Psalm 103 and try to finish up here just a few more verses. Verse 8. Let me read it to you. And then in context, look at having spoken about the great character of God, he then goes on and talks about our response to that mercy. Because it is altogether possible that we can take the sun for granted, we can take the moon for granted, we can take our health for granted, we can take our God for granted, we can take the gospel for granted, we can take our church or whatever blessings for granted. And isn't it not true that we've often heard it said that we don't appreciate until we've lost? We don't appreciate it until it's gone or what have you. And I'm not sure that that's always the case. But it is certainly true that only when we lose something or someone do we then know what it's like to not have them? And so we appreciate it at a completely different level. Look at our verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And yet, he goes right on with the character of this great God when it says he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Then he comes back to mercy and he says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he remembers, he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. And so he talks about mercy, but he says he will not always chide, he'll not always keep his anger. Then he comes back and it's as though the Spirit of God is just pleading with us, come, come, come to this merciful God. He has not dealt with us after our sins. He has been merciful. He has pitied us like a good father takes pity upon his children. He remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But oh, there's this great warning in verse 15. It is so true for every one of us. As for man, his days are as grass. What does that mean? God takes something as glorious as the heavens, and he says, look at the infinite nature of the heavens. That's me. That's who I am, my mercy. It's just, it goes on and on and on. There is no end to my mercy. You cannot measure my mercy. And then God takes something as insignificant as grass and he says, that's you. That's man. Man is just as permanent as grass, as enduring as grass, as long-lasting as grass, as substantial, as strong as grass. We, brother and sister, friend, we are dying. You say, that's not very encouraging. We'll remember a death after the service. We'll remember a death as we consider our Lord Jesus. And we come tonight in this service to meditate upon the death of another, so that until we face ours, we will live for the one who died for us, and we will live for him. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Life is short, life is uncertain, therefore, verse 17, we should fear the Lord. Verse 18, we should obey the Lord. And to the rest of the psalm, we should worship the Lord. Let me read it again. We should fear him, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Fear him and run to him. Because only he can make us clean tonight, even here. If you're saved, praise the Lord. But you yet and I yet need to come and be cleansed by this wonderful word from all the filth of the world and all the distractions and all the things that carry our hearts and minds away. That is why we come. We come to turn our eyes away from everything and onto him and the price he paid, so that we even want to be here for this supper that is called the Lord's. We are to fear him. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, to do them. We are to obey him. And no one with any reasonableness that knows the word of God can read a verse like that and think, yep, got it. Done. Nailed that one. My life, man, I got it. I'm an obedient person. Yeah, I mean, I got it. No failures here. Come now and let us reason together. The counsel of Isaiah. We should worship him, fear him, obey him. Notice, I'll just read the rest of it. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. That's why we should obey. And then to the angels, bless the Lord, he says, that excel in strength, excel far beyond us, these angels. They do his commandments, hearkening unto the command, unto the voice of his words. They fear God, they obey God, they worship God. Verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.